On the phone with me today is Mike Calicrate, who is one of the original founders of RCAF. He's a producer from Kansas and also the developer of the Calicrate Bander and owner of Noble Enterprises. And Mike, recently you attended the RCAF conference that was just held not too long ago. Why don't you tell me a little bit about some of the issues that were discussed and some of the issues this organization is really concerned about at this time?
Well, Cindy, the RCAF convention was just held up in Denver, Colorado, in conjunction with the National Western Stock Show. A really good turnout. The ranchers around the country have realized that there are some critical issues that have gone unaddressed over the last several years. The two issues that are of most concern to cattle producers that are members of RCAF are trade and markets. We know that we cannot be the dumping ground of the world on beef and keep our industry alive in the United States. We know that there are a lot of cattle produced in Brazil at half the cost that we can produce for, and that we have got to somehow let the consumer know where their food comes from so they can make the choice as to whether they want to buy beef from the United States producers or whether they want to buy beef from Brazilian producers. And that has been a contentious issue with country of origin labeling. That was one of the main things we talked about at RCAF this year. We passed the legislation, yet our politicians in Washington have failed to implement that law of the land. We feel that the USDA is controlled by big meat packers. And, of course, during our convention, the Office of Inspector General's report was issued stating just that, that big meat packers are running the show at USDA and Washington at the expense of the people. So there's some changes that are going to be needed there. We are also very, very much opposed to animal ID. Animal ID, in our opinion, is retribution for asking for country of origin labeling. Why in the world would we want to ID our cattle, a totally safe and healthy herd, and not identify the animals and the meat that crosses the border into the United States? So it makes no sense. The USDA has shown no benefit, no cost analysis benefit on the animal ID issue, and so we're fighting that. We're also fighting for some trade laws that will benefit us instead of constantly benefiting those who orchestrate the trade: ConAgra, Cargill, Tyson, and the big meat companies that search the world for the cheapest meat and import it into our countries. We have to stand up as cattlemen, and the people in RCAF are realizing that it's important. If you want freedom, you're going to have to fight for freedom. And sometimes you have to go to Washington and talk to some politicians. In fact, get very aggressive at times in fighting for your freedom. We are so concerned right now in America that we are going to lose our food supply, as we've lost our oil supply and become dependent upon foreign nations for our oil. We are now becoming dependent upon foreign nations for our food, and that is wrong, and it should not happen in America.
Well, this is an important year as far as the development of the next farm policy, the 2007 Farm Bill. As you pointed out, COOL was part of the 2002 Farm Bill but was never implemented. What is RCAF going to do as far as developing farm policy for 2007?
Well, we're going to try to get the implementation of COOL before the discussions begin on farm policy for the Farm Bill. But what we want in that Farm Bill, we may have to redo the Packers and Stockyards Act. The courts have ignored that act, have ignored the intent of that act, as you know from the Tyson case where the judge turned the jury verdict over and the 11th Circuit agreed with them. It's now going before the Supreme Court to see if they will hear it. But we may have to become more clear with some legislation, perhaps a competition title in the Farm Bill that will get us better enforcement.
You also talked about trade. Of course, Japan in the news lately regarding beef trade. Where does RCAF stand regarding the issues with trade with Japan, especially with what's happened recently with the market opening and then closing again?
RCAF believes the Japanese are a customer that should be listened to and treated with dignity and respect. If they want their animals tested for mad cow prior to shipping to Japan, we should do that, and we should have done it a long time ago rather than disrupting the trade. We feel that the big meat packers, these big global giants that think they can dictate to everyone, are being arrogant and disrespectful to the Japanese and other customers around the world, and that we should give the Japanese more choices of where they can buy their beef outside of the big meat packers and get them back as a customer and make them happy. RCAF is very, very upset with NCBA's stand on the relationship with Japan and the American Meat Institute's relationship with our Japanese customers, and we just feel we should provide them what they want and get this business underway.
Regarding animal ID, it really looks like that is moving along. How can RCAF address that issue if you're opposed to it?
Well, I don't really think animal ID is moving along. It's receiving an amazing amount of resistance, and I really honestly think that animal ID is almost dead as far as a mandatory program. And as far as a voluntary program, in the Calicrate feeding operation, we have been IDing animals for 20 years. It's nothing new. We tag our calves when they're born. It's got their birth date, what cow they're out of. And when those animals go to the slaughter plant, we know exactly what cow they came out of. We correlate back the carcass information. We've been voluntarily IDing animals for many, many years. So what the USDA is doing right now in trying to implement a mandatory program is not being well received, and I don't think it'll be implemented. In fact, it was quite interesting to listen to the Australian producer that was at RCAF tell about the disaster of the program in Australia. It simply won't work. It simply is not going to happen here. And in fact, one person commented, "Well, why don't you practice on the buffalo in Yellowstone Park, and or perhaps the deer herd here in the United States? And then when you're done with that, how about practicing on the waterfowl that fly over from Canada to South America every year? We could perhaps ID those." And when you consider the amount of cattle that are raised in the mesquite brush and the swamps of the South, we don't even know they're there. I mean, oftentimes we can't corral those cattle. I mean, it makes no sense. I mean, we've addressed the bangs problem in this country. If it's a disease issue, we show a good history of addressing the diseases in other ways, other than a mandatory ID that's going to be simply retribution to the producer and not effective.
Tying the two issues in, mandatory country of origin labeling and animal ID, how does RCAF propose that you can do a mandatory country of origin labeling without an animal ID system?
It's very simple. Country of origin labeling only requires that the imported product is ID'd. Everything else is here by default. If you simply identify cattle and meat as it crosses the border as to country of origin, then it carries that label all the way through to the end consumer. A very simple thing to do. You're talking 9-10% of the beef and cattle, up to 20% if you consider live animals. You're talking about IDing 20% versus 100% or versus the other 80% and not IDing the imported product. So it's absolutely makes no sense to mandate an animal ID and leave your borders wide open.
Mike, tell me a little bit about RCAF itself, the organization, how you started it, why you started it, and how it's grown.
I was at a meeting in Pierre, South Dakota, of about 1,000 cattlemen back in the spring of 1996, the first time I met Leo McDonald. Leo was talking about trade. I was talking about competition issues, and we became friends. And we decided that we needed to get aggressive, we needed to get organized on these two issues. So Leo, Herman Schumacher, Kathleen Kelly, and others started RCAF. And I started an organization along with several others called Organization for Competitive Markets. So we've really worked very well together. We've written legislation. We've got legislation passed. We've orchestrated litigation against IBP, Tyson, and assisted the poultry industry, the pork industry, in their competitive issues. But RCAF is really focused on cattle specifically, trade being their main issue, and of course, competition being a big part of that as well. But that's how it got started. It was a need. It needed filled. And Leo McDonald stepped up at the time, and someone who is analytical and someone who is very respectful as well, but very forceful, and doesn't take a no for an answer. If he thinks he's right, he's going to fight. And Leo's done a great job for the cattle industry, and And now Leo has stepped down as president. Chuck Kiker has taken on the responsibility, and I think we're gonna have a great organization going forward here, really showing Washington and the politicians what needs to be done for the cattle industry. We have 18,000 members in RCAF. It's growing, and I think essentially RCAF is the only organization nationally that represents the interests of cow-calf producers, and that's opposed to the NCBA, whose primary focus is on meat packer interests and big feedlots.
For cattle producers out there, dairy producers also, who would like to be involved with RCAF, listening to this and saying, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, what would you tell them?
Well, I'd say to join RCAF. You can go to their website. If you look it up on Google, it's just look up RCAF USA. RCAF stands for Ranchers Cattlemen Action Legal Foundation, but it's kind of lost that. It's just RCAF, United Stock Growers of America. But if you're interested in issues that will increase your income at the farm and ranch gate, you need to be a member of RCAP. If you're interested in global trade that's fair, if you're interested in a safe and secure food supply for the U.S. consumer, you really need to be a member of RCAF. We've got to keep in mind cattle prices have improved, but in the 70s, before we had the concentration and consolidation that we currently have in the meatpacking industry, the cow-calf producer was receiving 64% of what the consumer spent for beef. Today, the meatpacker's costs are less than they were 30 years ago. They're essentially in real wages paying meat cutters one-half of what they paid them 30 years ago. Yet producers are still receiving 16% less of the consumer beef dollar. Today, that's $350 a head that we still need to get back to the farm and ranch gate. We still have not completed our effort of restoring competition to the industry, and I really don't think we will until we break up these big meat packers and allow some small packers to come into business and serve their areas locally. It's going to be more efficient. It's going to be more economically viable and beneficial. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and the more pressure we apply, the more resistance we face. And that's very, very obvious with what's happening with country of origin labeling, mandatory price reporting, the legislation we've proposed on ban on packer ownership. The fact is the big meat packers and NCBA have a completely different view of how the world should look. They think there should be a few big packers that control the meat trade around the world, and we think we ought to be able to go down the street and buy from a local butcher who gets it from some local packer. So it's an entirely different view of the world. And if you want, you know, the safe food that's affordable, that's dependable, it's really important, I think, to support the RCAF effort.
All right, very good. I think that sums it up. And thank you very much, Mike Calicrate. I'm Cindy Zimmerman reporting.